beginning of 2018 alone, there have been 11 shootings recorded. More than 160,000 children miss school regularly due to fear of an attack or intimidation by fellow students. Why are there so many school shootings, and why do they continue to increase? What's wrong within our society, and what can we do to stop these horrible events from continuing? Well, there's debate about short-term fixes, but what we need is not a quick solution, but long-term change. Now, my guest today is Dr. Madeline Cherick, and she has experience to assess the root of the problem and offer a few permanent solutions. No quick fixes, no band-aids. With her 40-plus years experience in education, she will give us some ideas today that everybody is going to want to hear. Dr. Cherick is a lifelong educator. She's dedicated to children and making a difference in the world. She holds a PhD in comparative education from the University of Maryland and a California teaching credential in secondary math. She is presently on staff at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California, where she is a field supervisor of student teachers. Now, with her husband, Tom, who is now passed, they developed an MS Hope Foundation at UCLA and raised $42 million for their cause. And we'll talk about that. It's my pleasure today to have Madeline on the program. And her book is called Superheroes Club. Hi, Madeline.
Hi. It's so good to be talking to you and talking about things that I feel very passionate about.
Well, you know, this program developed from a long-running radio show called Share Your Mission. And we could get that out of the way right now. Madeline, what's your mission?
Well, having been in education for a long time, having three of my own children and now 10 grandchildren, I've always seen the world through the lens of a child. And kids are exposed to so many negative things, and I wanted to make sure that whatever I did had a positive impact on their lives. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, and it actually came out of an experience one of my granddaughters had. And she's actually one of the main characters in the book, Lily. And she was in a classroom where, this was preschool, where half the class were typically developing and half the class were special needs. And she befriended a little girl who didn't speak, but it didn't matter because Lily spoke enough for the both of them. But she found a way to communicate, to embrace her, to include her. And it just made me realize there's that innate innocence and goodness in young children, and I wanted to nurture that and encourage it and even celebrate it and hopefully see a cultural change in the world today.
Madeline, I read your book and I was so impressed by it that I decided to do a show. This is my first children's book that I have talked to people about in close to 900 interviews. And I took your book to a nursing home yesterday and read the book to them, and all 20 people were delighted to hear it. They were like little children. So it's not just a children's book. It's also a book for older people, too. And something that I've never done before and probably has never been done on any radio talk show because the time limitations is, I want you to read the book to our audience and stop if you want and make comments about the things that the kids are saying, and we'll just read them your book. Okay?
Okay. Sounds wonderful. All right. It was the first week back at school after summer vacation, and Lily woke up with a smile. And one of the things about the Lily character is she wakes up happy every day. And the reason I used her as one of the characters is because I wanted people to understand how not all kids wake up happy. How many kids are depressed? And I wanted to open up discussions about that. So let me continue. Lily skipped to her closet singing, "I am me, I like me, that's who I am." And that's who she is. She loves herself. She appreciates every day. She appreciates the life that she has. She tugged a little too hard at a dress hanging up, and scarves, shoes, and an avalanche of other things all came tumbling on top of her. Where was Lily? Suddenly, Lily popped out from under the enormous mountain of clothes, fully dressed. "Your outfit is colorful today," said her mom when Lily came downstairs for breakfast. Again, she twirled around and sang, "I am me, I like me, that's who I am." "I like you too," said her mom, smiling. Anxious to get to school, Lily was gulping down her cereal when her mom asked, "Have you thought about what you'll bring to share day for school? Remember, it has to be something related to what you did over summer vacation." Lily looked up from her bowl and all around the kitchen as she thought. Then her gaze stopped on a sign that had always hung above the kitchen sink. Her eyes lit up. She had a great idea. Lily got to Wilbermill Elementary School just as Mr. Thomas was opening the door to his classroom. When everyone was seated, Mr. Thomas called on Alex to share what he had done during his summer vacation. Alex introduced Meatball, the new service dog his family had adopted over the summer. Alex has autism spectrum disorder, and he told the class how Meatball helps him from being uncomfortable in crowds and new situations, just like Miss Angela helps him in the classroom. And I want to stop here for a moment, and the reason I included Alex is because there's so many kids who are on the spectrum today, and all Alex wants is to be included. How many kids, whether you're on the spectrum or not, don't feel included or feel part of a school community? And it's something else that I wanted parents and educators to have a discussion about. How do we make sure that all kids are included and feel like they have a purpose and a place in school and in the community?
Madeline, let me break in here for a second. You said on the spectrum. A lot of the people that are listening don't know what you meant.
Okay, they're a set of characteristics of young people who are on the spectrum, and it goes from one extreme where kids have total autism, full-blown autism, or just have ADHD where they're hyperactive. But in terms of Alex, he's someone who has trouble communicating. He may be oversensitive to certain kinds of stimulation, like loud noises, even visual stimulation. He has communication deficiencies and may not be able to integrate into a classroom setting the way typically developing students are. So there are a wide range of characteristics when young people are on the spectrum.
I see, and his dog Meatball helps him with his anxiety.
Yes, he absolutely helps him. He calms him down. He also helps him because when kids see an animal, they're immediately drawn to that animal. So it helps him bridge that communication deficit that he may have.
Okay, let's go on.
All right. Then Joaquin stood up next. "I played roller hockey," he announced. He vended wheelies around the class in his athletic shoes, showing everyone his winning hockey moves. Many of the children cheered, saying things like, "Way to go, Joaquin." Even Mr. Thomas chimed in with, "Score!" Joaquin gave everyone high five. Then it was Mia's turn. With Mr. Thomas's help, she projected a video on the whiteboard showing her doing a series of flips. "I went to the state gymnastics championships," Mia proudly told the class, "and I can finally do a split leap on the balance beam." Everyone cheered for Mia, too. So let me stop here for a second, too. And the reason I included the Mia character is because I want your kids to realize, how many times do you fall and have to get up to try and be successful? And it's really about perseverance. And for me, success is not necessarily being able to accomplish something. Success is, if you don't give up, you keep on trying. And that whole definition of success and failure really has to be discussed and understood by kids and parents, so that all young people feel that if they've tried their hardest, that's what we should expect of them, not necessarily being able to do something that they may not be able to do.
I want to just interject that something that I've heard over my lifetime, which is true, is you're never a failure if you never give up and you continue at what you're trying to accomplish, right?
Absolutely, and that's what this is supposed to bring out as well. That's one of the important themes, because we put so much pressure on young people today. And the truth is, even if they're successful at one thing, there are no guarantees in life today. You have to be able to be resilient and persevere and become emotionally strong. And that's one of the things I think also that I wanted to touch on, is that part of what I see going on today in schools and in society is we've spent so much time identifying kids who are at risk academically, which is important, and I don't want to say that it's not, but we don't spend enough time identifying kids who are emotionally at risk, who aren't resilient, who aren't, don't have the ability to get up after they've fallen. We haven't given them those emotional tools that they need. So let me continue. Finally, Lily stood up. "I'm a superhero. I'm a sharing, caring superhero," she announced. How could she be a superhero? The children's faces seemed to ask. She didn't look like a superhero. Lily knew what they were thinking. "It's not how you look that makes you a superhero, but what you do," Lily explained confidently. Lily then explained how during the summer she had collected jackets, hats, gloves, shoes, toys, sports equipment, books, and games for the community relief drive at the fire station. "I'm going to see Fireman Mike this afternoon," Lily told the class. "You can come to my house after school and see what I collected." "Great idea," said Mr. Thomas. After school, Lily and her dad were busy organizing her closet when the doorbell rang. When Lily's mom opened the front door, there stood Alex, Miss Angela, Joaquin, and Mia with their arms filled with things. Meatball was there, too, and even he was carrying a bucket in his mouth. "Lily told us to come and see what she collected for Fireman Mike. We thought we'd bring some of our own things, too," said Mia. So what I like about this is that Lily was able to inspire her friends to get on her bandwagon, and they embraced what she was doing, which was collecting different things for the community relief drive at the fire station. So it's interesting how kids can influence and inspire other kids, and that's what I try to do with the Lily character in this book. The children rushed upstairs and dumped everything on Lily's floor. "Now we can all be superheroes," said Lily. "Nah, you don't have superpowers, you can't be a superhero," said Joaquin. Lily explained, "If you believe in yourself, you can help other kids." "Okay, but what else can we do besides helping Fireman Mike?" asked Alex. And what I like about Lily's statement here is that she wants other kids to believe in themselves. And it's all about each one of us finding that heroic potential within each of us to be able to help other people. "Just like Meatball helps you, we can help other kids just in other ways," said Lily. "Some kids get bullied at school. Some kids are sad because they eat lunch alone. And some kids never get picked to play sports." Okay, I get it. We could definitely help those kids," said Joaquin, already thinking about ways he might help. And what I like about the Joaquin character here is that he's that young man who, for him, the world is wonderful. And he doesn't realize that there are other kids around him who may not have life as good as he has it. And Mia has to remind him, you know what? We can each do a little something to help other people. Yeah, let's join forces and call ourselves the Superheroes Club, suggested Mia. Yes, and sharing and caring is what we'll do, added Lily. Lily gave each member of the new Superheroes Club, including Meatball, a superhero power band. She explained, whenever we wear these power bands to school, everyone will know who we are and what we do. I think I can get into the superhero stuff, said Joaquin. Me too, said Mia and Alex in unison, and even Meatball barked in agreement. They all huddled together, joining their hands and cheering, Superheroes, unite! Superheroes have special missions. So what's ours, asked Joaquin. There's a carnival at the fire station today, and we're going there first, said Lily. The superheroes gathered the things on Lily's floor, piled them into a wagon, and marched to the fire station with Miss Angela and Lily's mother and father. Meatball tagged along, too, picking up falling items all along the way. When they got to the station, Lily introduced all of the superheroes to Fireman Mike. We're here to help kids, she announced, and here are all the things we collected. Great job, said Fireman Mike. Our carnival is just beginning. The superheroes dropped all the things they had collected in the big bins near the dunk tank. To their surprise, Mr. Thomas was also helping at the carnival. He was in the dunk tank. The superheroes all agreed. Mr. Thomas was good at helping kids. So they made him a member of the Superheroes Club, too, and gave him a power band right before dunking him. So, if you were a superhero, how would you help people? And that is the journey of our superheroes in this first book.
Well, that's really, really great that you were able to read your whole book. First time it's ever been done on a talk show, I bet you. And for the people out there listening, I want to make a couple of points because, as you know, my program deals about addictions and it deals about your purpose in life. And they're related, and you can find out more about how they're related if you want to get a copy of my book, Freedom from Addiction, then the number 3 on Amazon.com. But I wanted to tell you that the character Lily illustrates a couple of things that I talk about, and one of them is self-esteem. Every addictive behavior starts with low self-esteem. And that is exactly what Lily does not have. She has a high self-esteem. So if you were to put yourself in her frame of mind, and you would find that you are a lot less likely to be troubled with the things that I talk to people about every day. The other thing is, when you come to wanting to cure yourself from your addictive behaviors, the second most important thing, second to wanting to get well, is belief that you can. And Lily gives a great example of belief that she can do something important. So I just wanted to show you how, in this particular story, two of the underlying things that are very important to understand are here in this book. Now, this book is so well illustrated, the illustrations are so good, that I wanted Madeline to give a shout-out to her illustrator.
Well, the illustrator is Esther Yisol Choi, and she was a recent graduate of CalArts here in California. And when we met, the only character that I described to her was Lily, because that's how Lily is in real life. She's that colorful, she's that energetic, she's that inspirational, she's life, she's sunshine, she's a sunflower. But the other characters, she she came up with by herself, and we talked about diversity, and we talked about whether we wanted male and female, but she did. She created beautiful characters and page designs and illustrations that just jump out at you. So thank you for mentioning that, because I'm very proud of what she did.
Now, should someone be writing a children's book that's listening today and want a great illustrator, how would you tell them to get in touch with Esther?
That's a challenge, because she's living right now in Australia.
Wow.
She left California, and she's living in Australia and going to graduate school. So she and I, the second book is almost completed, and she's been sending me illustrations back and forth like that. But they can go to my website, which is superheroesclubbooks.com, and there's my email address there, and they can always contact me, and then I can contact her and then forward whatever information they would have and see whether she has the time to work on other materials as well.
Would you give our audience the name of the website slower so that they can write it down?
It's superheroesclubbooks.com.
Superheroes Club Books.
Books.
Dot.
With an S. There's an S at the end of book. Books.
.com. I got it. Okay, great. You've been around.
But I did want to comment on what you said before in terms of addictive behavior and the Lily character. That just what you said is what I wanted to accomplish as well. As I said, Lily is who she is. And everybody around her is inspired by her love of life and her confidence and resiliency. And what she tries to do is look for that in all kids and also make everyone realize that there is something that makes each of us special. And we need to focus on those things to build up our self-confidence, to realize that each one of us has value and each one of us can help each other and contribute to society and find what place we have so that we encourage that and nurture that and become someone who wants to be part of society and doesn't turn to that negative, addictive, destructive behavior that we see.
I help people with over 30 different addictive behaviors, and one of them is illustrated obliquely in your book. I went to a estate sale a few years back, and the home was completely packed from floor to ceiling and practically wall to wall. There was just a small amount of area that you could walk from room to room with boxes, most of them not even opened, from Home Shopping Network. And the lady would turn on her television set every day and watch Home Shopping Network and buy this and buy that and buy this and buy that, and she didn't even need it. And when she died, there was so much stuff that it took a good part of the day to sell it. And my point is this. You had in your book where Lily went to her closet and got things and that she wasn't using and donated them. And that's something that if we could somehow or the other teach all people to do, it would benefit everybody, because you don't need to collect everything. You're never going to use it. Is going to rot or be torn up or whatever. And your life would be so much better if it were more simple. So follow Lily's example there and take the things that you haven't used in a year and donate them to somebody else who could use them. That would be my take on on that particular aspect of your book?
It's that and a lot more. What I notice is if you watch very young children, when they do something that makes someone else feel good, all of a sudden they feel good and they don't even realize it. And I think it's important as parents and educators and grandparents that every moment is a teaching moment, that we expose young children to experiences where they can give of themselves. And all of a sudden they start to embrace those good feelings that they have, and that it's not about acquiring more things. It's about the things that you can do that you internalize as feeling good, and that's what motivates you then to do more, because not only are you helping someone else, but someone else, in effect, is helping you, that you give until it feels good. That was one of the things my husband always said, you know, when we try to raise money for MS. His motto was always, give until it feels good. And that's what it's about with young people, too. And that's what I talk about when we need this cultural shift and focus to really help children understand how good it feels to help other people.
Well, let me take you back then and give you an example from when, before I retired, I was practicing family practice, and probably about 10% of my patients came in with a complaint of depression, and they wanted Prozac or something. And I told them, you know, you're not low on chemicals. Take this prescription and see what happens. I said, for the next 30 days, every day, go out and do something, big or little. It might be as small as just smiling at somebody. That would help them in some way, and don't expect to get anything back in return. And come back in 30 days and let me know how you feel. And you know what happened? Practically everybody that did that came back and said, I don't need any drugs anymore. Because when you help other people, it helps you on so many...
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's interesting when I go to schools and I read my book. At the end, I say to the kids, and I usually read to kindergartners, first and second graders. I say to them, all right, look at each other and smile. And all of a sudden, they start giggling. And I say to them, doesn't that feel good? And they're all shaking their heads. And I remind them, just the smile and making someone else smile and making someone else giggle is that brings out that collective happiness in everyone, and they realize it doesn't take much, first of all, to make someone else feel good, and then you feel good in turn, and it's more of what you just said. But at the same time, I also want to acknowledge that there are people who physiologically have some chemical issues in terms of depression and things like that, who do need medication. But you're right, there are probably many people who don't need it and just need to change the way they live their lives and how they see the world.
Well, depression is one of the symptoms of addiction. And you get rid of addiction and most of the depression goes away. But that's another story, another day. And we're talking today with Madeline Sherrick. Sherrick, isn't it?
Yes.
Sherrick. And her book is called Superheroes Club. And can you get it at Amazon?
Yes, you can get it at Amazon. And local bookstores are carrying it too. And if not, they can get it for you, but definitely on Amazon.
Do you sell off your website?
No. It's much easier to go to Amazon.
Okay. So it's a great book for children and old people. Now, as far as everybody in between, you can read it to children or old people, and you will be doing them a big service. And so I'm really happy, Madeline, that we had a chance today to be able to expose the world, and this program goes all over the world, to what you've done here. Your media kit said that there are some things that you have experience with, and I'll just read them to you and see if you want to comment. Your media kit said that you have experience with underlying issues some children experience each day. Is that different than what we've talked about already?
No, I think that we talked about a lot of the things that that I felt were important in terms of themes.
Okay. And how teachers, counselors, and parents alike can play a role in identifying students at risk due to their mental and emotional well-being. What about that?
Well, I think that, first of all, using the book as a template, it gives teachers an opportunity to observe kids as they're reading the book, to see what questions they have, and it helps children bring up issues that they may be dealing with in an abstract way without referring necessarily to themselves, but just issues in general. And I think anything that starts a discussion and allows kids to express themselves is a good thing.
Absolutely. And how to work with parents early on to discuss concerns, provide resources for them to help their child, and work together as a community.
Well, I think, as I said before, every moment is a teaching moment. And one of the issues we have today is that parents aren't always present in their kids' lives. And even if they're in the same room with them, they're not necessarily present. They're on their cell phones. They're preoccupied with other things. And we have to find more time to connect with our kids, so that we're hearing what they're saying, we're watching their behaviors, we're addressing issues as soon as they come up. And as I said, every moment is a teaching moment. If they ask a question, if they behave a certain way, then start having that discussion about the values that you have and their experiences and what's going well in their lives and what issues they're having, so that they can be addressed early on and they know that you're there to help them get through whatever challenges they're facing.
Absolutely. There are many testimonials about products and books that you can read. I want to read you one from a favorite actress of mine, Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee says, "In this year of Wonder Woman comes a delightful book for children called Superheroes Club. The central message is that a superhero is not what they look like, but what they do. A message of caring and sharing, much needed in this time of division and hatred. A loving gift for a child in your life." That was really nice. And you have other testimonials from other people, but we don't have time to go through all of them. But I would also recommend this book to the people that are listening today. I think it's a great book, especially if you have kids. And if you have some old people at home, they'll enjoy it too. So, Madeline, we've about come to the end of our time together. I'd like to give you an opportunity, if there's something that I forgot to ask you or that you just wanted to include in this interview, we still have a little time.
Well, I think what I wanted to portray in this book and the message that I try to get out to everybody is, you know, we always talk about systemic change, changing the world. Well, the truth is, as individuals, we can't change the world. But each one of us has heroic potential within ourselves to do something small, larger, whatever works for us. Find that thing that you can do to contribute and make the world a better place. And it's going to be a grassroots movement, because each one of us has a responsibility. You know, none of us journeys through life alone. And we just have to figure out what our role is, what our place is, and how we can be a part of that journey so that everyone has a productive life, a meaningful life, and a life that embraces all of us.
Madeline, thank you so much for being on my program today and passing on the things that you've learned and these teaching moments to the people that are listening. And I honor the work that you're doing, and we'll look forward to your next book.
Well, thank you very much. I did want to mention the next book is called Superheroes Club, A Celebration of Uniqueness. And what I do in that book is I introduce four more characters, and each one of them is special in their own way. And what I'm trying to bring out there is that there's something about each of us that makes us special, and together we're stronger for it.
Madeline, let me know when it's released, and we'll do another show.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for the work that you do, and I'm encouraged that there are many other people out there doing wonderful things, and together we'll make a difference.
Absolutely.